Now, let's talk football.
Welcome back. Hour two. Clint Sterner in the house on a Tuesday morning quarterback segment. It's unique.
He is.
It's not the first time I've ever done it, but
when you win, though, you can move from Monday to Tuesday. You can do whatever you want, man.
Wear any uniform you want.
That's
do whatever you want.
That's it.
How are you?
Good, man. Good. By the way, fellas, I did see a few kids and grown fans this weekend with anthracite jerseys on.
So there is some
truth to the fact that there's probably some extra monies to be made by changing uniforms.
There is no doubt.
Yeah.
Have you seen any white unis? Any white jerseys?
I have seen white jerseys, seen red jerseys, and anthracite jerseys.
Okay.
Well, black ones.
No black ones. No black ones yet.
You know what? Maddox actually has a black jersey. Kids jersey.
Razorback football one?
Mm-hmm. From two years ago. So
I'd buy one.
Yeah, I think they're kind of pimp. I don't know.
I tell you what, I really, really liked South Carolina's light gray jersey until the camera panned back and you could see their pants. And it was just like, who in the hell put that together? So we should probably be thankful that at least we're anthracite from knee to neck and it's not, you know, don't break it up at the waist and have some kind of snakeskin pants on. That's kind of odd. But
I agree. What do you think would have happened if, when you were in Dallas, they had an alternate uniform and the star was not on the helmet?
We actually did. The star was there. We actually did have an alternate. It was a retro jersey it was the year I'd left, though. It wasn't the year I didn't get one. Because I remember wishing I was still there so that I could have one to frame. But it was it's the all white cowboy helmet with the blue star.
That must look fantastic.
It looks real good. I mean, they wear them once, twice a year.
Yeah, I've seen that. I guess
that was the retro.
That was retro. Retro's a little different animal. The anthracite is a new wave. It's a different deal. It's not like it's an ode to the past.
Yeah, I mean, I could agree. I can agree with that.
What do you think they would have done if they would have had a special helmet? It's like a blue helmet, and in white it says Cowboys on it, or it's the state of Texas. Yeah. Or think people would have freaked out?
Well, when you got Jerry's money, you can pay guys to come play. You don't need to be different. So
there's that. You know, there's no trying to attract people. It's how much money can I pay you? Yes, come play.
You know, I tell you what though, I think when the Bucks changed that's probably the most successful, most appealing uniform change in my opinion. When the Bucks changed to that, I guess that's an anthracite. I guess that color is. I don't know. Gray, metallic gray, anthracite color.
Is that about the Buccaneers?
Yeah.
Yeah, when they went from that dumb-looking Tennessee orange to the more traditional, kind of a garnet.
The red and it's a dark gray. I don't know. Charcoal color, maybe?
Yeah, they're kind of garnet gold, and then they've got the charcoal mixed in there, too.
That's probably the most successful one that I've seen. There's been some bad ones, but that one is pretty.
Speaking of H-Town, I've had some bad unis over the years.
The Strohs?
Some bad teams over the years.
I've had some good teams, too.
It's pretty cool, though. I mean, the best thing, the most consistent thing they've had over the years as far as the change is just the logo, which is just a simple star that doesn't enclose, but it's just that thing, that for whatever reason, that is stuck for several years now. They keep changing the colors and the jerseys and everything else, but that one logo sticks. So.
Texans love your stars, don't you?
Yeah, I do
like that Texans logo.
I got to get me an Astros hat anyway. The Texans logo.
I like
with the Texas flag inside the bullhorns.
Yes, I do like that.
It is kind of cool.
Cool.
Yeah.
So, okay, the million-dollar question this week is Clint Sterner.
Give it to me.
Is Arkansas improving or are the last two opponents just that sucky?
I think it's a combination of two.
Bailout. That's what I said.
I mean, I said the same thing.
In the roundtable, they asked it, Jim Harris. I said, I'm going to go bailout. I'm going to say combination.
Well, there's no argument. I mean, for us to sit here and discuss Kentucky like they're a typical SEC opponent is, I mean, that was as bad a football on both sides of the ball as you could imagine. I mean, I know I was at the game for the first quarter, I guess, the first 14 points until the first delay. But, you know, the wheel route, back comes in motion, strong to weak, to the weak side of the field, outside receiver runs a little snag route, and the running back runs a wheel off of him. And it's football 101. That's, if I was coaching 10-year-old football, I would coach that. And they somehow – and the thing was, it wasn't just the guy that was covering the back. They all three ran together. So, I mean, you could have had – there was multiple guys open. But, I mean, that's just football 101. You got to either exchange that, push that off, or you got to know it's coming before it ever happens and get over the top of the pick route and cover the deep ball, at least give up, you know, a 10-yard gain instead. So, I mean, and not only that, but it happened twice.
Yeah.
So, they're bad. They're bad. But, you know, I think what I like out of the whole, you know, the last two games is there's multiple guys touching the football, new guys touching the football, you know, and we're spreading it around. Tyler staying clean, staying up, and there's certain plays you can't Tyler's mentality is to hold the ball as long as he can and force it down the field. That's what Petrino does. You know, he keeps defensive coordinators and DBs on their heels because he'll strike deep at any point. But so he's going to get hit. But all in all, he stayed pretty clean. And you know, we talked about it since day one. Getting Dennis Johnson involved, I think, is key. And that guy's just he's proven us all
what was
right.
Wingo's numbers, I guess.
He got hurt. He's not quite right.
I mean, I think he's had one catch all year and.
It was on a wheel route.
But this kid, yeah,
Jonathan
this kid,
Williams,
this,
gets,
Jonathan
getting
Williams
his catches.
Is getting his catches, and but that's what to me that's what this thing's all about. That's what coaching's all about is finding those young guys that can make plays like that. A back wearing a 30 number catching wheel routes 20 yards downfield. It takes a special guy to do that. Your everyday running back can't do it. So, mm-hmm. You know, finding out that guy's strengths and then getting it done on the field is pretty impressive, regardless of who you're playing. And the numbers that Tyler is putting up, I mean, those are hard. That's hard to do against air.
Well, it's hard to do it in a full game, let alone in 2.5 quarters.
Yeah, I mean, that's at halftime. Whenever halftime did get there, you're looking at this kid could throw for 10 touchdowns. I mean, if Kentucky scores at all, we can throw for 10 touchdowns. But unfortunately,
Did you hear what one of Joker Phillips' quotes was after the game, talking about the decision to end the game prematurely?
Terminate,
however you want to say it. He said, "Well, these." He said he was sitting back and looking. He thought to himself, "These kids hadn't eaten since 2 p.m. So
that's what he was thinking about.
We probably should get them out of here."
But you hear our coach; he's in there. He's talking about, well, you know, hey, look, in preparation for these, we prepared for these delays. We prepared. We had food for them to eat. I'm thinking,
did he really?
I mean, what'd you do? Walk them through a buffet line during the first rain delay, or what?
It's a way to think. It's good. Hey. Chicken nuggets, anybody? Come on, we're all
go upstairs,
we're all
get some nachos and jalapenos.
That'd be awesome if they rolled up and we're like standing in line at the concession stands. Excuse me.
That's good.
Can I get some nachos and some cotton candy? That'd be fantastic. Very funny. Do you ever have a weather delay?
Weather delay, yeah. We had
were you in the Tennessee game or are you gone by then?
No, I was gone by then. Tennessee game. There's only one two. There's two memorable moments about Tennessee, and neither one of them were weather related.
That's true.
There was one, you know what, it wasn't weather-related. It was actually when the lights went out at War Memorial against Kentucky. The lights went out. We had like a 20-minute delay until I get the lights back on.
Was that the longest delay?
It was 90.
Was that the couch game?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so, yeah.
I thought the game was played in the afternoon.
No, it was night because I just saw it was on Classics the other night.
So. I was sitting at home watching it on TV. I had just gotten here.
Did Tim Couch do the game this weekend?
Yeah,
Tim Couch did
the game this weekend. I watched that game on Classics the other night.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
So
yeah.
That's when I went on my Twitter rampage of hire Coach Burns back. I mean, it was just because they did two back-to-back Classic games, and one of them was Kentucky. And at that point, Kentucky was one of the most prolific passing offenses in the country, and we held them to 20 points. And then the next week or the week before that, we played Alabama, and it was when Sean Alexander was there, and they were one of the most prolific ground games in the country at the time, and we beat them 42-6.
I'll never forget it.
I automatically went off on the Twitter. I was like, hire Keith Burns. Where's he at?
Where is he now? He was in Dallas for a while.
He's special teams coach at the Raiders, Oakland Raiders.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wasn't he linebackers coach, or am I thinking of Reggie Herring?
Reggie Herring, who you saw on TV last night.
What's he doing?
He's with Not last night. He's with the Texans. He's a linebacker coach for the Texans.
Oh, Sunday night?
He was with Wade Phillips with the Cowboys, and then he went to the Texans with Wade Phillips.
Pretty good. It's good to be a linebacker's coach when you got Cushing, but not so much now.
Yeah.
Kind of a tough deal.
Makes it tough losing them.
Yeah, no doubt. Those defenses were great. But again, I mean, you look at we always talk about recruiting seemingly lately. I mean, they had some pretty freakish – I mean, Quentin Caver and some of the guys they had that rolled through there. There were some defensive stars.
We sat down and
teams.
We were talking about that. I don't know when we were talking about, Saturday or Sunday.
Well, yeah. Barrett played in the NFL. I mean, there's players. So many NFL defensive players off those teams.
Well, here's – you know, you had – truth be told, you had Kenoy Kennedy, who was pretty special from the time he stepped on campus. But everybody else, you know, that year, you had a lot of mid-range, you know, undersized. You know, Melvin Bradley, great player, but 6'2", 260.
Yeah.
Very undersized. DJ Cooper, 6'5", you know, 240, 250, maybe a little heavier than that back in the day. But, I mean, none of them were All-Americans. And if you watch that game, man, it was, you know, I think Kentucky went for it on fourth down four or five times, and three of those were safety fire in the A-gap. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, but you have to do it. You can't those guys will just absolutely pick you apart if you just sit back and let them do it. So – and then the next week we're doing the same thing, but it's all to stop the run, and we held Sean Alexander to, I think, negative yards that game.
I'll never forget that game. When he slid, instead of getting hit one play. And we brought it up to him, I think. Yeah,
called him out on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, you guys always bring up that game, but look at the record, you know, and I'm like, oh, that's true.
Right.
But that game, I was like, this dude doesn't want to get hit no more.
They were getting spanked in that game.
It was, they
beat the crap out of him.
42-6 that week.
And wasn't that close.
What year was that?
That was 98.
That was the worst loss they've had in 50 years or something like
Bring
that.
Bring back Shula!
Yeah, right.
Bring back
They went through a tough run of coaches there. I remember Mike Price paid for a lap dance, I guess, with a University of Alabama car. That's brave.
Who knew?
You talk about brave.
Who knew you couldn't do that?
Right.
I use the Buzz credit card for stuff like that all the time.
Well, we talk about Petrino, you know, using the university phone to text somebody. I mean, it don't get any worse.
You know what's
using
interesting?
University credit card and getting the old. Prime time at the Palace.
It takes a pair.
Why do coaches not get that? Remember, we had a Louisville beat writer on that covered Petrino, and he said he couldn't understand how. Well, what he said about Petrino was Petrino could never get or understand the whole idea that the university cell phone people can get that information off there. Any kind of emails you send out that you think are private, people can get those. He said Petrino never understood that. And I think a lot of coaches
Here's the best advice
realize.
For
a
coach.
Totally makes sense now.
You make $3 million a year. You can afford to pay for your own cell phone that they can't FOI. And by the way, get a Yahoo account. Mm-hmm.
But how many do we see? Even Coach Nutt, didn't he have an issue with the university cell phone?
All you got to do is text. All you got to do is watch First 48 or something like that. Get you one of them Go phones, man. They don't know who owns it. They don't know anything about it. Just get you a Go phone. Throw it away when you get done.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
What do you you brought up, Justin said bring back. Would you want Shula?
Yeah. I want Shula to go to Alabama because they were a lot easier to beat when he was there.
I'd also
like to bring back DiNardo to LSU as long as we're on the subject.
That'd be great.
Oh, he was brutal.
Did you hear anything? Who said that, Justin, to us, that they had heard that Texas threw $10 million to Nick Saban? Was it Jim Harris said that?
I don't know if he said that. They said they could pay that if they wanted to.
Okay, I thought he said that he thought that they sent that word out there to him that it's
there.
I could see it,
but I can't see it. I don't think there's any possibility.
He would never leave. I don't think so either.
Although I'd much rather live in Austin.
Well, I know they made a run at him last year.
Did they?
And, I mean, well, Ross, I know. I guess I don't really know, but word on the street is they made a good run at him, and he made it loud and clear that he wasn't leaving Alabama.
So. I don't think he will either, but I'd much rather live in Austin than Tuscaloosa.
I mean, there's not very many places that I think that if I'm a coach, that I would leave Alabama for, but, you know, and not because I'm from Texas, but Texas is probably one of them.
Well, that is the problem.
Texas is one of those programs. I mean, they're one of the top. I mean, they're one of the top three or four.
Have you ever been to Austin?
No. Oh, actually, yes, I have. I take that back. I have.
Not to play basketball. I'm talking about
to play basketball. I did.
Right.
That's exactly the reason. Why else would I go?
The last thing I want to do is sit here and pimp Texas, but it's a special deal. I mean,
it's the size of a small country.
If you don't think they're fixing to chase,
who do you think they're going for?
BP.
You think so?
I don't think they'll give him the key to the Palace, but I think he'll be the OC down there.
I can see that. I can definitely see that. But do they want
to
run that kind of? But do they want
to
play a spread attack? I mean, do they want to do that? Because we were just talking about how.
Why not?
I mean, Chizik ran, and look, he ain't going to say it, but he did. I mean, him and Gus were not seeing eye to eye. Nobody talked about it, but you know what the deal was. The writing was on the wall. He wanted to be a pro-style offense. Gus isn't a pro-style coach. He does what he does, and he does it well. So they parted ways. You do your thing. Guess what? Your pro-style ain't working too well. Yeah. I can't see Texas going spread attack.
Well, I mean, they hired the Boise guy. That's who's OC is right now. Is the old Boise State coach. The old Boise State OC.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
maybe
they
so.
Obviously will go there. I mean, I tell you, and I don't even like to think about that, but – you put that guy in charge of the offense over there.
And that guy would be Bobby Petrino?
Yeah. I mean,
who's going to be the head coach?
It don't matter. I mean,
but you can will out Joe Paterno out there on the sidelines.
Yeah,
he's dead.
That's fine. Just will him out.
That's terrible. Don't say that. That's wrong.
It really doesn't matter. I mean, you go get a defensive-minded head coach and golly, man, I mean, that would be – I mean, because you just think of me, you automatically are able to recruit coast to coast.
You really think
get the best player, top three or four recruiter?
I don't see it.
Someone's going to do it at some point. I hope I'm 100% wrong. But did you see the which of course I just saw it on Twitter. But it was one of those things with the top 16 available coaches.
Yeah,
y'all see that?
I saw that.
Bobby Petrino was number 3.
That doesn't surprise me. Okay, let me ask you this: If Kentucky comes open, does he take that as the head coach, or do you go to Texas as the OC?
Whew. Man, I mean,
let's say Kentucky will pay you $2 million and the OC job will there pay you $900,000. Twice as much money. You're the head coach. You get to call your own shots. He's a control freak. Every great coach is.
Yeah, you know, I was talking to some guys this weekend. They start talking about how he was, which is blatantly obvious to all of us now. But they were talking about how he's the architect and the contractor to the project there, you know. So knowing that he's a control freak that he is, I'll bet he would take the Kentucky job.
And it'd be no problem. He would leave in a year. It wouldn't be like he wouldn't, you know, if he was at Kentucky for 1 year or 6 months and a head coaching job came available,
well, I don't think – very rarely do the number of significant jobs come open that are going to come open next year. I mean, Arkansas, Tennessee, Texas, Auburn.
I don't think Auburn's going to come open. I really don't.
That's your Iowa State talk.
No, believe me, I don't like Chizik at all. I mean, I've been down on Chizik from day one. I said all along, Gus Malzahn was the brains behind the program there, and he saved his bacon. But he just hired two new coordinators that are trying to put a new offense in with pro-style offense. I just think they'll give him one more year because of that.
You could be right. Dooley could possibly be around.
I think so, too. I don't think they're going to can him either. I really don't. And maybe I'm high, but I don't.
I could see Dooley sticking around before because I think they've shown significant improvement from last year.
I agree with that.
Auburn is just bad. I mean, they've had a top five recruiting class, top eight recruiting class the last 3 or 4 years, won a national championship. And I mean, that's bad football.
It's amazing how bad their line is on offense. That's what's crazy to me. How do you have an offensive line that's that porous?
Yeah, you know, I mean, play calling has a lot to do with it. I mean, when there's no question about it. They're struggling. But you know, when you got a quarterback sitting back there, you know, two and three hitching, going through a read, you're over and over and over again. Your play calling's bad. I mean, get the ball out. Get, you know, tighten up. 8-man protect. Get some backs in there helping. Get some tight ends in there helping. Or spread the field and get the ball out in the quick game. Spread the field, get the ball out in with screens. There's a lot of ways to be creative to get the ball out and protect your quarterback. And it just seems like, and that's what really disturbed me about Arkansas the first 4 or 5 games was the same thing over and over and over again, just getting our guys killed and Kobe Hamilton going for 300.
How many times do you have to get smacked in the head before you get rid of the ball quicker?
Right, not me. None.
Yeah. See,
I just checked old Anthony. Throw it up, baby.
Frazier's got a mental block. He just can't let the ball go. And I mean, you see it. I've seen quarterbacks like that before. You are asking to get killed.
I'd like to see them do something that fits his style a little bit better, though.
I know you would, but they're trying to put a new program in. You know what? If Mike Malham had Ryan Mallett, he's still going to run when he runs. Maybe not if he had Mallett, but you know what I'm saying.
No, of course. I think he understands.
There are two schools of thought. There are guys who will adjust to their talent, and there are guys who will make their talent fit their style.
Yeah. I've never seen you take a guy and be able to change him to what you want. You cannot make his strengths what you think they are. I've seen coaches adjust what they do until they get who they want in there.
And they probably should flourish. Because in the meantime, they're going to lose like 9 games this year.
Yeah, it's ugly. I mean, you got a guy that was recruited to do what Cam Newton does, to be the next Cam Newton, even though it's hard to believe. But, I mean, you got a guy that was recruited to be that. It was in that mold, and you're not using him. I mean,
That's not
how you're using him. He's not a pocket guy. He's not ready.
Then why make him that?
I mean, they don't have a choice, obviously, or they don't have the ability to adjust, is obviously. I mean, that's from the outside looking in. That's my take on it. He's not ready. He's not ready to be a pocket passer. He's not ready to change offenses 2 years in a row and be a pocket passer. It takes time to become that guy.
If you're a coach on that level, I think you should be able to, even though you want to instill a certain offense going forward, if you have a guy who can't do it, you should be smart enough to understand how to at least win games or stay close in certain games to get through the season.
There's no question about it.
There's
no question.
Gene Chizik and Smart have never gotten together. So there's problem number one.
You do have a signed helmet from Gene Chizik, though.
Yeah, I know. And if it wasn't on a Cyclone helmet, I would have already thrown it in the trash by now.
He did pretty good there.
Where?
He was reasonable, wasn't he?
You are crazy.
I think he was terrible.
He won 5 games in 2 years.
How in the hell did
Paul Rhodes came in the next
time?
Because they loved him, because when he was a defensive coordinator there, he did a nice job. But guess what?
Why Arkansas doesn't need to hire an unproven head coach.
You know who else did a good job as a defensive coordinator at Auburn? Paul Rhodes. And now he's kicking butt at Iowa State. At least he's doing as good as you could possibly do.
Few and far between.
Top 25.
So Kirby Smart's
State,
not on
baby.
Your list.
Kirby Smart is not on my list.
Okay. Well, let's find out who is.
He's on my list for $1 million D coordinator if you want to go that route. We can talk about that when we come back.
Let's
I'm a
do
fan.
It.
I think I got the recipe for Arkansas being a national championship hunt year in, year out.